listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Welcome to Patty Pigskin. I'm Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings, coming to you from Dublin, Ireland for the next few weeks, home in the motherland for the Christmas break. And what a way to start off our few episodes in Ireland. Have a very, very special guest on this week's episode. Bit of a legend in NFL podcasting. His name is Chris Wessling, and he is famous, of course, for being on the NFL's flagship show, the Around the NFL podcast. He's also a writer for NFL.com. And for any of you that listen to NFL podcasts, you almost have certainly heard of Chris and the rest of the guys on Around the NFL. Fantastic show. Chris was very kind to come on and chat with me. So we spoke about how he got to basically the pinnacle of NFL podcasting with the Around the NFL crew. We also chatted about his early life. His story is very, very interesting. If you haven't heard it before, I encourage you to listen to it. It's very, very good. And also, we spoke about fantasy football. So in his early football media days, he concentrated on fantasy football. So we spoke about that and how it's evolved. And then I also asked him for a few predictions. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that. So yes, episode 26, fantastic. Probably our biggest football guest today, Chris Wessling from the Around the NFL podcast. Before we get Chris on, we will do our episode 26 player dedication. So another DB, Carl Woodson, but this week it's Rod Woodson. So Rod Woodson was born in Fort Wayne, Indiana in 1965. He played his football along with basketball and track and field at his local high school there in Fort Wayne. He accepted a full scholarship to Purdue University as he wanted to actually pursue a degree in electrical engineering. He was an All-American DB in both 1985 and 86 for the Boilermakers and left Purdue with 13 individual records, including interceptions, pass deflections, and total tackles. So as a result of his college career, he was selected into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2016. He was drafted by the Steelers with the 10th overall pick of the 1987 draft, and he was actually the longest draft choice holdout the Steelers have ever had, but he eventually went on to play 10 seasons with the Steelers before stints with the 49ers, the Baltimore Ravens, where he won Super Bowl 35, and the Oakland Raiders, where he's currently the cornerbacks coach. He went to 11 Pro Bowls in his career, including 6 first-team All-Pro nominations, and was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 1993. Stats-wise, he had 1,637 tackles, 71 ints, and 17 TDs, and he is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's also part of the 1990s All-Decade Team. So episode 26 is for cornerback Rod Woodson. And without further ado, let's get on to this week's very special guest, Chris Wessling. So on this week's episode, it's my absolute pleasure to introduce Chris Wessling, writer for the NFL, well, the Around the NFL, and of course, star of the Around the NFL podcast. Chris, thanks very much for taking time out to speak to us here at Patty Pigskin.
Oh, my pleasure, Gary.
So I believe you're in LA at the moment, am I right?
I am indeed.
So how's the, it's probably a little bit warmer out in LA than it is here in Boston. I think it's about 15 degrees Fahrenheit here in Boston. So I'd much rather be in the warmth of LA where you are.
Yeah, we're in the 75 to 80 range, bright sunshine, 81 degrees today. It's basically perfect.
I would trade that weather in an absolute heartbeat. When I go home to Ireland, I never thought I would say I would go home to Ireland to keep warm over Christmas, but it's so cold here up in Massachusetts. That's the way it is these days. Thanks very much for coming on. So most people that listen to Patty Pigskin, a lot of people follow the Around the NFL podcast, as they should. Myself and Jer, who are on the show here, we absolutely love listening to you guys, and we get a lot of inspiration from listening to you. So how did you get involved in, you know, being the flagship podcast for the NFL is pretty much the pinnacle of football podcasting, but I'm sure it was a long road, and I know, having looked into just your story a little bit, I would know, but maybe some of our listeners don't know. So could you tell us a little bit, you know, the journey you took through football and how you got all the way to the top to be working for the NFL?
Yeah, I'll try to make this rather quickly, but the journey, I grew up in Cincinnati as a Bengals fan in the 1980s with six brothers, and we were all hardcore sports fans, so we'd be watching Bengals games and then run outside and about halftime and play out the second half, you know, in the yard, just us kids playing football. You know, baseball, basketball, I loved all of it, and I was obsessed with sports. All through my early 20s, I had a scholarship to school, but I lost that scholarship because I didn't keep my grades up. Okay. So I delivered mail for a couple of years to pay back the school. Then I went to work at a law firm for almost 10 years. During that time, got it really into fantasy football. This would have been the mid to late 90s. So really into fantasy football during that time, and then started writing about it on message boards. Was pretty ate up with it, and our listeners from the podcast will know the figure Spice Rack. He and I were in the same league, and we would always be battling for the title every year. So that was a rivalry we had. And then moved from Cincinnati to Tybee Island, Georgia, off the coast of Savannah, beautiful little island. Right about a year after that, I was going back to school, and Greg Rosenthal, who was at Roto World at the time running their football department, he stumbled upon something I wrote and asked if he could run it in their summer magazine for $50 or $75, and I was happy to do so at the time because I was sort of trying to find myself. I was 32 years old, and
any income was welcomed at the time, I would imagine.
I was between jobs, working from home, trying to help my ex-girlfriend out with her job, just getting a few dollars here and there. Was about to deliver pizzas for Pizza Hut, and Greg reached out. One thing led to another, and I started doing news blurbs on a daily basis with Evan Silva at Roto World, and Adam Levitan, a couple other guys, Pat Daugherty. Did that for about 6 or 7 years, and then Greg was hired. He had been at Pro Football Talk. He was hired by NFL.com and NFL Network to start basically the Pro Football Talk of NFL.com, which became Around the NFL. And Greg had a few people there already. And Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler were two of the guys who were under Greg's employ from the beginning. So he had to decide whether he was keeping those guys on or if he was going to hire new people. So I think he immediately decided he was keeping Mark, and he and Dan may not have seen eye to eye on everything at the beginning. So that was more of a gradual thing. But then he reached out to me as well and said, "Hey, I'm going to create a spot here for you if you want it." So I had to decide if I was going to stay on my cozy little island and write about fantasy football or move across the country and join forces with Greg. And it was really tough decision. It took me a while. Because I really did love living on Tybee Island, but it was one of those deals I didn't want to look back in 10 or 15 years and regret not taking a chance.
Yeah.
So I ultimately decided to come out. I started with NFL.com in January of 2013, and they had me move. Greg and I both moved there around Memorial Day in May or June of 2013. So the podcast started couple of months after that. I believe it was late July of 2013. Greg, Dan, Mark, and I started. We took over from what Dan and Mark had started as the ATN Debate Club, which was on the end of Dave Damashek's football program.
Yeah.
So we took that over, and I think it was finding our footing for a month or two, and then couple of months into it, we seemed to hit our stride, and everybody's characters came out, and that's a big credit to Dan playing the host and pretty much taking the parts of our personalities that he could turn into characters, that Mark would be the end of days poet philosopher. I would be the scientist who was into like film study and sort of like the common man who had little patience for fans. Greg was, you know, the ability to talk about anything related to football, but also at the time the boss. So he became the boss type character. And
yeah.
Dan was the kind of evil comedian host. who everybody kind of laughed along with. So we kind of started, became those characters. And I think we weren't all great friends at first. Mark and I hit it off right away when I moved out here. We both liked to drink and have a good time and talk about books and sports. And he and Dan had been friends, but it was harder for Greg a little bit because he was the boss.
Sure.
To be kind of in the friend role. But gradually, the four of us just came together, and I think that chemistry came through in the podcast. And especially me, Mark, and Dan would hang out a lot outside of work. And then it got to the point, especially when Greg got out of the boss role, where the four of us would be hanging out. And I think right now the chemistry is as good as it's ever been. It's as natural as it's ever been. I can miss weeks at a time for cancer and chemo and come back, and I think we don't miss a stride. So
yeah,
I think it's all natural. Like, there's no faking that chemistry, and I think that really comes through, and that's helped our podcast quite a bit.
Absolutely. And we only started introducing, we do a little beer review on our show, and we found ever since we started introducing, having a little beer while we're chatting football, it seemed to open up things perfectly. So it sounds like you guys having a beer outside the studio may have helped the chemistry to flow a little bit more and the personalities to shine through. But definitely as a fan and a listener of your show, the personalities and the interactions that you guys have definitely makes the show, and it makes it really interesting to listen to. So what would be, for people that may not have heard you before, or people that listen to you regularly, what kind of goes into, you guys have a couple of shows each week. I know you have your flagship show. What goes into, talk us through a day in the life of the NFL, around the NFL podcast. What goes into the prep? And I know sometimes you guys do. I think you might record while some of the Sunday games are going on. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's changed over the years. At first, we did very little prep work at all, and I don't think the show really suffered for that at all. I think sometimes a podcast can work better when it's totally unscripted and you're just off the cuff. I think that works just fine. We started to do more video segments. And there's still kind of some shows are video, some aren't. Some portions of the show are video. And that's when a lot of the preparation work would come in. So you'd have to be prepared for graphics and whatever else goes into the video side of it, the production elements.
Yeah.
So we would start to meet and talk about what we were gonna discuss in the podcast that day. And now we reached a point, for me, I'm not involved in that process much at all, just because I'm going through the chemotherapy.
Sure.
And Dan is now doing his thing on the end around, so he's not involved as much. Mark works from home Sundays, and Greg is now no longer the boss, but doing his own writing thing. So we're all four kind of, we used to be all day sitting at a quadrant in the cubicles discussing everything, and now it's almost like all the communication is via text or our instant messenger client, which shall not be named. but a lot of that communication now is done just through text, and we're not quite as prepared as we were maybe a year or two ago when we were doing more video stuff and we were all together.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But say like a Thursday is our preview show for the games. I'll usually spend all day Wednesday watching film, taking notes, a good portion of Tuesday as well. And that's really where all the note taking goes, is in that Thursday show. And I'm sure Greg does the same thing. Mark does quite a bit of film watching, and Dan doesn't really watch as much film, but does so much more to prepare for the show. Almost all the ideas are Dan's, really, on how the show's going to be laid out, which topics we're going to hit in news, which drops he wants to use. So while we're watching film, he's doing all that stuff to make sure the show goes well.
Yeah.
So that's how a Thursday show gets mapped out. Sunday shows is just all natural off the cuff from what we saw during the game. So I'll be assigned a 1 o'clock game from David Ely, our editor, and I'll be writing about that for the site. And then I'll usually take another game as sort of a backup game, just so I can, you know, during commercials, I'll switch onto that game so I at least know some talking points for the podcast that night. And then the 4 o'clock, I'll write another game up and talk about that one. So we usually take about three games apiece on Sundays to have ready to talk about and discuss in pretty good depth. That way we have every game covered.
Yeah.
And, it'd be kind of a luxury to be able to watch Red Zone, which I know a lot of people get to do for their fantasy content. We've never been able to do that, but I think if we were all just watching Red Zone selfishly for whatever's entertaining at the moment, the podcast wouldn't be quite as good. So I think it's better to be prepared to talk about every game. So that's sort of how those two shows goes. And I haven't done Tuesdays this year. Colleen has taken my place, but that Tuesdays tend to be our most creative show, and I really miss doing them because I think it's where less of the football intense discussions happen and more of our personalities and sort of inside jokes.
Yeah.
And whatever topic is going on in the NFL that isn't specifically game related, but is more of a league-wide topic. Those issues get discussed on Tuesdays, and those are fun shows. I really miss those.
So you mentioned that you break down film. Is that pro film that you would get from the NFL, or is it just, you know, rewatching games that you made with DVR, or is it the proper footage?
It's just Game Pass, and I can watch it on my Apple TV, but generally I watch it on my iPad, and I have the app that y'all have in Europe.
Game Pass.
I have the European Game Pass, yeah. So we can watch. In America, you cannot watch Game Pass while live games are going on, but we can. Because we work the NFL, it's one of the perks.
I was going to say, that's a pretty nice perk to have. Remember when I moved to the US, I was like, where's Game Pass? Why can't I use Game Pass? I always used it when I was back in Ireland because the TV listings, I have to say, have really improved. When I started watching, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago, I think there was two games and that was it. But now they have the two game slots. So the 1 o'clock, which is like 6 p.m. over in the UK and Ireland, and then the later games. But they also have an alternate game. So if you press the red button or whatever, you get another game. So technically you have four, and then they have the Red Zone. And I know you guys don't get to watch Red Zone that much, but Red Zone is very popular purely because, you know, a lot of the time the networks over there, Sky Sports, will pick the kind of games of the week. So if you're a team, like if you're a Bengals fan, you know, sadly this year your Bengals might not be on TV that much, and you're gonna miss out. So having something like Red Zone is fantastic. You can or Red Zone and Game Pass, you can watch your team, whatever game they're playing, and also for fantasy implications as well.
If you're a Bengals fan, I feel sorry for you.
Well, a buddy of ours who does another podcast, Cahill, he's a big Bengals fan and he's diehard. Did you grow up as an Ohio State fan, being from Ohio? I'm a big Buckeyes fan, so I'm a little bit salty after they were left out of top four of the college football championships. Who was your team, or were you were a Bearcats guy?
We were definitely in Buckeyes country. Cincinnati is sort of unique because it's more of a college basketball town.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, Cincinnati was not a good football program when we were growing up. It was a basketball program. So people would be either Ohio State, Notre Dame, or even some Michigan fans. I was raised Catholic, so we were, in my house, we were Notre Dame fans growing up.
Okay. Yeah, Notre Dame actually, you may have been aware, they actually played in Ireland in 2012.
I remember.
Yeah, there was a couple of games a long time ago, college games, but this was, they kind of rehashed it in the form of the Emerald Isle Classic, and it was Notre Dame and Navy. I think there was like 50,000 people there. And basically Dublin was just flooded with people from South Bend, Indiana. I think about 30,000 of them flew over. So college football is getting pretty big in Ireland. Even last year, BC came over to play in Dublin. They played Georgia Tech. I think there was maybe 40, 45,000 fans at that as well. So college football and the NFL obviously is pretty big over in Europe. So you work for the NFL, you probably have a better idea to lay the land more than anybody. Do you see, you know, there's so many games in London now, there's four games in both Wembley and Twickenham between them this year. Do you really see, realistically, a team could set up shop in somewhere like London and actually, you know, compete and actually be profitable franchise for an NFL owner?
I would say on that issue that nothing would surprise me because it's something that a good portion of the owners want to see happen. And when that's the case, you never rule it out. I think it's a number of years away from being a possibility. But I also think that most Americans in general, and even Americans who follow the sport as writers, don't understand that it is becoming pretty big in England. That, you know, when we send Handsome Hank, Henry Hodgson over there, he comes back telling us, you know, you guys have these festivals and parades or whatever that have 400,000 or 500,000 people on a Saturday. And that it is, you know, people are coming out. These are sellouts. And it's not, I think that the people in America think that we're just sending football over there to try to export it, and even though there's not much interest. And I think it's becoming apparent to me through the podcast, especially, there is a lot of genuine interest. And I think because I get that interaction on Twitter from the podcast, I see that the interest is there, and there is a viable market for it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky to go to a lot of those games. The first one was actually the year the Giants went all the way when they beat the Patriots in 07. That was the first one in the current Wembley series that they have against the Dolphins. And there was like 70,000 people at it. And it wasn't just Giants and Dolphins fans. You would see a jersey from all 32 teams around the NFL. You would also see people wearing their club jerseys from all over Europe. I mean, people were flying from Scandinavia. People were flying from Germany, where formerly NFL Europe used to be there. I don't think a lot of Americans don't. I don't think they really grasp the scale of American football now over in Europe. But like, it's a fast growing sport, and even in Ireland itself, American football in Ireland is very fast growing. We have a lot of new teams sprouting up, and a lot of fans listening to you guys, and just getting involved in fantasy football as well. Even just from being involved with DraftKings, this has kind of been a bit of an eye-opener. I didn't realise fantasy football was such a big deal back home, but now it's kind of opened my eyes when I see how many people interact with us about it. So you kind of cut your teeth early on in your career in fantasy football. So how has the whole landscape of fantasy changed since you started your football writing career?
Let me revisit. I just want to say one thing more about the potential for London. I think that whereas a lot of people believe that support would be an issue, I think that's a non-issue. But I think the two things that I would worry about are the transportation. Teams don't want to leave America and fly to make that trip.
Yeah.
So that would be one. But the other thing is, where are you getting the franchise from? You would have to take it from one of the 32 cities in America, and I don't see an obvious choice. I know Jacksonville has been the team that everybody's talked about, but I'm not so sure the city of Jacksonville is ready to give up their team. So
yeah,
I just wanted to say those two things seem like the biggest hurdles to me.
Absolutely. And I think the Rams was floated around as one of them, one of the potential teams a couple of years ago, but that ship has long sailed now that they're out in LA, so they missed the boat on that one. But yeah, Jacksonville I think seems to be the name that everybody's been putting forward, purely because they have a game there every year now. I don't know. I think it might be to 2019.
Well, the Chargers need a home.
that's true. Have you guys been to any Chargers games in the stadium and seen for yourself firsthand that any team that goes there, it's pretty much a home game for them?
Yeah, Mark has been. Mark went, I don't know if it was week one or preseason, but he went and he really liked the stadium quite a bit. But it's not the same as going to any other city where you're going to get 60,000 or 70,000 fans. There's only 27,000 fans, and most of them are not even rooting for the Chargers. So it's a different experience there.
Yeah, and do you think they should have stayed in San Diego? And we've spoken about on our podcast a few times, having been in San Diego a couple of months ago and asking the people, they didn't really care. They didn't seem to care that much about the Chargers. And they don't really care about the Padres either, the other San Diego franchise. Is that just they don't really care about pro sports in San Diego, or?
I think it depends who you talk to. I know there are a lot of people who do care, but I also think it's a fan base that was very frustrated with ownership, and that really affects your fandom. That's one of the reasons why I am no longer a Bengals fan, is because of ownership. So
fair enough.
I totally understand that point of view.
Okay. So yeah, we'll jump back to fantasy football. So in your eyes, how has the whole fantasy football landscape just changed? It seems to be now, with the introduction of daily fantasy, it seems to have brought on a completely new level altogether. So just how dramatically has it changed from your early days covering fantasy to 2017 going into 2018?
It's night and day. And just from a personal angle with me, I don't really like the changes. I don't have any problem with anyone else, you know, appreciating the changes or being involved in fantasy football. But I got in at a time where getting access to information and doing your homework gave you a tremendous competitive advantage. And now everybody has access to the same information. It's mostly luck. Everybody's a fantasy football writer on Twitter.
Yeah.
Information overload. And I think there's a tendency, there's always been a tendency for groupthink in that field. So, but to me, I guess the oversaturation of the industry and the communication on Twitter kind of drove me out of it. I didn't like to be so accessible. I didn't like the idea of people, you sign up for a hobby and you can't even make your own decisions. You need an analyst to make your decisions for you.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Roto-World puts out all this free information and everybody wants like personalized like advice on Twitter. And it's like, well, do you want me to sleep with your girlfriend for you too? can you do anything for yourself here?
Where people tweet, do people still tweet you asking you who to start and who to sit? Or like,
yeah,
pick
who
two
to
or
start,
three?
Who to sit, who to trade for, this, that, and the other, you know. And
what's your canned response when you get one of those? Do you entertain some of them, or you're just like, nah, not today?
I'm really active, I think, in discussions on Twitter, but I ignore almost every fantasy question.
Fair.
There was a time when I tried to answer, but I just sort of lost respect for people who signed up for a hobby and didn't want to run it themselves.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of fun doing the research yourself. And, you know, there's always going to be people that will look for the quick way of like, you know, why do I have to put in the work myself? Let's just ask an analyst and they'll give me the answer. But me personally, I enjoy looking into the stats and looking in, doing it must be the scientist part of me, doing the research behind it. And then coming up with the conclusion.
I mean, yeah, I like that part. And here's another dirty little secret. There's no such thing as a fantasy football expert.
It's true, because there is such... The guys still have to go out on Sundays or on Thursdays or on Monday nights or whatever. They still got to, you know, throw those passes. They still have to score those touchdowns. So there absolutely is an element of luck to it. You can make all the guesses and all the advice in the world, but at the end of the day, the players still have to go out and do the job on the field.
Yeah, you can read someone like Evan Silva who spends 30 or 40 hours crafting his matchups column, and it's incredibly informative, and I would advise everyone to read it, but all of that logic gets thrown out the window as soon as the whistle blows on Sunday, and there's no expertise. It's just you go with your instincts, which is based on what you've read and the knowledge you've accumulated, and that's your biggest asset is your instincts, but there's no expertise to it, really.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't trust my gut, and it's cost me a couple of times when we set our daily fantasy lineups and stuff like that. So I'm assuming you're a traditionalist. You probably don't like the whole new daily fantasy. You probably like the whole, you know, you draft your team at the start, you pick up guys off the waiver wire, you stick with your soldiers throughout the season. Is that your way of doing it? You're not really into the whole the new era of fantasy.
Yeah, there's several things here. One, I got out of fantasy right when daily was becoming popular, so I've never participated in it. And I believe there's probably a rule against it, being an NFL employee and being involved in fantasy. But yeah, I would be more of a traditionalist, and I sort of loathe the practice on Twitter, especially of referring to actual human beings as shares.
Yeah,
and I've noticed the thing is I have like X amount of shares in a player, and I just hate that phrasing and what it symbolizes.
Yeah,
that you refer to another human being as a share of something. So
yeah,
that part of it, I sound like a grumpy old man. But,
do many?
But to answer your question, yeah, I am definitely more of a traditionalist. I was even when I was heavily into fantasy, I was mostly into dynasty leagues because I liked the idea more of being. Building a roster and being a general manager type.
Sure, yeah. Do many of the guys in the NFL, like I know, you know, from watching NFL Network and stuff like that, a lot of the the hosts and a lot of the guys that to be on there are actively in leagues against each other. Are some of the other guys from around the NFL podcast, are they active in fantasy football as well, or you've all kind of just, there's so much information overload and saturation, like you said, are all you guys kind of taking a step back?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. There's a burnout factor there. Greg, I think, you know, at our height, Greg and I were probably involved in 8 to 10 leagues apiece.
Oh, well. Yeah, and that's crazy to manage those.
The industry leagues, like against other fantasy analysts and stuff like that. When I first started there, Mark and Dan had a team that they shared together that they ran. And then I think Mark had a couple other teams on the side, and Dan had another team on the side. And now I gave up my last Dynasty League that was started in 1999. I gave it up this past summer when I was going through chemotherapy and about to have surgery, and it didn't seem like a priority to me at the time.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty legitimate reason to want to give up a fantasy league when you're going through cancer surgery and chemo. I think that's your priority at the time. So the Dynasty League can sit for a while.
Yeah, and I think Greg may have given up all but one league. I believe Mark is out altogether. Dan might have one league, but he might be out altogether too.
Okay.
So I think it's more of a burnout where we were all really involved in it, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it's just kind of, our interest has dwindled a little bit.
Yeah, it's rumors.
And part of that, I think, is those guys getting families too, and you just have less time for hobbies, especially when football is your job, it's no longer an escape. And if you work in a cubicle, like when I worked in a law firm, it was my escape from the law firm. It was my escape from the real world. And now our real world is football.
Yeah. So now do you go to libraries to escape from football? Whereas when you were starting off, that was your escape. You went to the library, and now have things switched around now? It's like, all right, I'm going to go read in a library just to get away from my actual job, which is football.
I think Amazon used books has replaced the library.
That's true, yeah.
Or just go to the bar.
Yeah, no, as an Irishman, I firmly endorse that message. Just go to the pub, have a few pints of Guinness, and you'll be all right. Before I let you go, Chris, I'll ask you a couple of predictions, just straight off the bat. Who do you think is going to go all the way in the AFC, the NFC, and who's your pick for the Super Bowl?
Patriots in the AFC, just because I trust Belichick and Brady more than I trust anything involved in the NFL.
Pretty safe.
I do think the AFC has sort of evened out a little bit, as opposed to a month ago we might have said it's Patriots and Steelers and then everyone else. Now I could see a team like the Chargers winning the Super Bowl or the Ravens going pretty far. But I'll say Patriots in the AFC, and I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to take the Packers in the NFC.
Oh, wow.
They have to get in first, but once they get in, they've got Aaron Rodgers, which no other NFC team has.
So you think Rodgers going to relax and run the table again and take them all away?
I mean, he's done it twice, pulled off the relax, run the table bit.
That would be good for ratings. Packers, Pats, Super Bowl would be good ratings.
Yeah, I think they have a better running game this year, and I think their defense hasn't really played to its potential yet, but I think Rodgers can cover up a lot of weaknesses there. So I also think it's because there's no real overwhelming favorite now that Carson Wentz is out.
True.
I think it's wide open. And when it's wide open and you have Aaron Rodgers, you've got a chance.
Absolutely. And then if it's the Pats and the Packers and the big dance, who are you going with?
I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers transcends the moment, ends the game, Bill, and the Packers win.
Wow. Bold claims from Chris Westling on Paddy Pigskin. I love it.
I know it's a long shot. I'm just going with my gut.
I'll have to, when I'm home in Ireland now, I'm going to go into the local bookmakers and see what the odds on that would be. who knows, if the bet comes true, I'll buy you a couple of points out in LA or something like that out of winnings.
Well, they only have a 15% chance of making the playoffs, according to Football Outsiders, so I'm sure the odds are long.
Pretty good odds, yeah. Okay, thanks very much for the predictions. And Chris, thanks a million for coming on to speak to us here at Paddy Pigskin. Really appreciate. I know you're going through treatment at the moment. We all send our best wishes. You seem to be going through it strong, and I really appreciate you taking the time out to chat with us today.
My pleasure. And as I told you off the air, I spent 11 of the greatest days in my life in Ireland in 1998. love the country, want to go back, and I really appreciate our listenership there in the Emerald Isle.
Yeah, well, maybe we can do a podcast, and next time you want to go over to Ireland, just give me a shout. We can do a podcast over in Ireland. I think it would be quite fitting. You could do a reunion tour of what you did in 1998.
Well, the Paramore is itching to get to Europe and do a multiple country tour, so
okay,
maybe in the next year or two we'll be able to get over there.
Sounds good. Thanks very much, Chris.
All right, Gary.
That's it for episode 26 of Paddy Pigskin. Thanks very much for tuning in. Make sure you keep tabs on our social media pages, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Still giving away lots of stuff for the 12 days of Christmas. And it sounds like we have a lot of new listeners as a result of the competitions, which are great. So make sure you download and subscribe wherever you're listening to us, iTunes, all the different apps, Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, radio streaming services, all those type of places. We appreciate you listening to us. And also, if you're into fantasy football, we're after getting loads more people now signed up to our DraftKings Paddy Pigskin League. So if fantasy football is your thing, this is a new way of playing, daily fantasy. You get to pick a new team each week. So join us. You can sign up at www.draftkings.com. Use our promo code Paddy. That's P-A-D-D-Y. That also gets you a free $3 or €3, whatever way you look at it, contest entry. So who doesn't like free stuff? So that's that code again, Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y, DraftKings.com. Join me and 44 other people now in our league. We play every Sunday, $5 entry, and basically top two or top three win the cash money. So that's it for episode 26. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in next time where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care.